Time for Cover Your Assets with Jim Lynch. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, and we could add sports, we could add politics, a lot of other things in that. Jim's got lots of experience with those subjects and more, and he'll join us today, and I have a plethora of questions.
No big words, please.
I always remember the word plethora because in high school, I think it was Dr. Rudd. We were having an open history class, and he mentioned the word plethora.
Right.
And he was offering up a plethora of options on a story. Well, of course, back then, we had to look up the word plethora. All right. So that's that, Jim.
You know, I tell you truth, though, that I usually use periodically just to distract people.
Well, that's it. It's one of those words. But, you know, it's stuck in my mind all these years. But anyways, enough of that. Enough of that right
now. Let's have more of that. I love the past years. But lately, it's not that much fun. Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
All right. So now, my first question to you, and I'll put this off. Janet Yellen was speaking, I do believe, the other day, and she says that if we don't address the debt limit within a couple of weeks, we could face a serious recession.
Okay, so let me give you the background of this debt ceiling. Congress consistently has raised it. Each time it's gotten beyond where it should. It's very important for us to know that the debt now, the excessive debt now versus the limit, is caused by spending in the past. It's not creating debt to spend in the future. Therefore, past Congresses and presidents are responsible for the making of this deficit. In this case, the Trump administration, a la Donald Trump, cut taxes to the rich by about a trillion and a half, and therein lies the problem with this current deficit. Secondly, the Republicans traditionally have gotten the Democrats to go along with raising the debt limit because it didn't make sense to bring the government to a standstill, people being laid off while they tried to figure out how to do this. Now we have a situation where Mitch McConnell and the Republicans are very stubborn in terms of just voting for something that should be very easy to vote for. Example, if you owe $10,000and you have cousin Vinny, and you say, "Vin, give me, you know, lend me $10,000-$15,000 for a year or something." Well, Vinny just does that, okay? It's that simple, this particular situation. Now to Janet Yellen. The thing is this, if indeed we do not get an increased debt limit so that we can sell more bonds and finance our everyday needs, including financing what we've already done with bonds in terms of interest, it all comes apart. Countless people are put out of work immediately at the federal level, which means people are put out of work who are contractors to the federal government. It means that our debt is no longer the sacrosanct investment that it's been for years. Interest rates immediately go up as we try to solve this problem. Three, we can no longer fund various agencies and programs that we have in existence. It's like an automobile. It stops running. The government stops running. The economy stops being successful, and therefore we have what could border on a depression. Now, do I think that'll happen? No. But the point is, that is how dangerous this thing is. And that's why Mitch McConnell is like this insidious sadist who likes to cause trouble. By the way, the people in Kentucky should be very, very concerned about this. And that's where Mitch comes from, because they get so much revenue from the federal government to support their various programs like employment and so forth. They, among states like Kentucky, will feel it faster and quicker. And the bottom line, if God forbid we do this thing and it lasts for a couple of months, it's just not coming back. It'll stop the blood, but it's not going to come back. It's going to linger, and it's going to last, and government debt will be tarnished forever or as long as we live, which means we will not be able to sell so many bonds to so many countries and investors worldwide. But here, right in the United States, if a deficit causes this kind of problem and a default on the debt, then why should people buy U.S. government bonds? They might as well buy AAA municipal bonds where the financing is done on a more professional basis, and they don't do things like overspend and look to sell bonds a year or two later. So Janet Yellen, I believe, is absolutely correct. If this happens, we will probably go into a depression. Again, I do not believe this is going to happen. The government is all, the politicians have always figured out a way to delay it, just let it happen for a couple of days or something like that.
All right. Now, a story that caught my eye, Neil pointed it out to me yesterday, the Bank of America, they've been illegally shorting AMC stock, and basically what that means, if you are a member and you use Bank of America, they've been using your dollars, and it lost them a lot of money. I mean, this is amazing, Jim.
Well, what we're seeing, like in this Everglades situation, a real estate company in China, and we said this on the show months ago, when interest rates, I think I use the term free money regarding the stock market, when interest rates are so low, people set up and borrow beyond their normal intelligent capacity, and they get into trouble. And the thing with Bank of America, I'm certain they'll tell you that the money was segregated from the actual people who have given the money to the bank in checking account, saving account, or whatever. Doesn't matter. The point is, it impacts the whole bank, and it impacts their ability to be as sound and solid as they were before they started getting involved in speculating in the market. The thing is this. If they're doing it with AMC, this company, what else are they doing? What other speculations are they taking? Are they, for instance, buying up a lot of real estate because they can buy it very cheaply and they're looking to resell it? That's something that is going on primarily on an individual basis. Individuals, they'll buy, particularly middle-sized priced homes, and they'll sit on them and then retrade them. And why can they do this? Because they're borrowing money at almost nothing. And so the carrying cost is limited, and the profit, therefore, becomes much larger than it would in a normal interest rate environment. So, yes, I would say this is it. I mean, this is what starts crises in terms of the financial markets.
And Jim, by the way, sent me a very interesting email where a technical glitch and a crypto marketplace sent out tens of millions of dollars to people, making them rich. And then, after they realized the area, they asked people to send the money back.
Well, that's the problem when you're dealing with an instrument which is really not matured, and an instrument that many people, including myself, do not quite understand how people would put their money in it. It's just rife with problems.
All right, and just this little note before I move on to Facebook. It's been reported now that vaccines, if people want to know about vaccines, how good are they, how bad are they, it's reported now that vaccines in the United States prevented 25 million COVID-19 cases, and also those vaccines have saved 40,000 seniors from dying. Those are pretty good statistics.
Well, you know, the statistics are very good, and if you want to continue to be stupid, see if you can get into a viewing room in an ICU in a hospital that's overloaded with COVID cases, and take a look at those people suffering by being incubated. I'm sorry to be so tough on this kind of thing, but I'm so sick and tired of hearing these anti-vax people, the Fox News people, and people have been dying, and here's proof that we've saved so many lives. And we've got countries begging for the vaccines. They can't be produced fast enough to cover everybody in the world. And here we are in America, only 55% vaccinated, people are thumbing their nose at this. Obviously, they're very ignorant people, stupid people, grievance people, like the Trump followers. They always want to be against something, and that's part of the problem. And we'll get into that in a minute.
All right, very quickly, how bad is this Evergrande crisis? Is this something that can really affect the global economy?
To be frank with you, an intelligent answer is I don't know. And I don't know, because the Chinese, for a long time, have basically been allowing their corporations to be very aggressive in terms of what they've been doing on a speculative basis, but on a positive basis to increase revenues in the country. We don't know how many more of these Everglades are in the pipeline. And we really, it's very hard because China is not as open as we are in terms of information regarding corporations and so forth. So therefore, we don't really know. My guess is it's certainly impacting the psychology of the Chinese in terms of wanting to spend more money than they've been spending. And it certainly indicates that many investors are going to really shy away or really take a lot more due diligence in getting involved in anything in real estate in China. Does the wave leave China and hit other places? Because the banks really don't disclose as much as we'd really like. We don't know. We don't know the exposure worldwide. So, caution is the byword. I would expect more problems in China itself, however, from this in the real estate area.
All right. Now, I asked you all those questions, and you must have a few things on your own mind that you want to get across this morning.
No, I don't. You covered the entire thing. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And it's very... it's sad, it's frightening, we have to face the fact that we do have a very significant minority of people who are against the government, against democracy, against living a normal, nonviolent life. And Trump is primarily the catalyst of this, but the grievance people were kind of seething for some reason in the background. I want to point out to you that people like Mario, Marco Rubio, he's out there calling this a socialist country. These Democrats are socialists. So let me tell you this before we get back to individuals. This country, if it's socialist, we go all the way back to the 30s when we were bailed out of the worst depression we've ever seen. And in that period, Social Security was created. Social Security is something that you pay into and that the government gives you back after they earn money on it and so forth. Now, if that's socialism, I'll take it every day in May. Secondly, we have what we call Medicare. Medicare basically helps people who are sick, who need help, who need to get healthy so they can go back and work. So if that's socialism, I'm all for it. Medicaid is something that was a child of Medicare. It's at the state level. It's the same thing. So if that's socialism, I'll take it. Unemployment insurance, which people get from the government when they cannot work or can't find a job. If that's socialism, I'll take it. The masses of people in this country are getting all of these things. How dare these politicians use the word socialism? These are U.S. democratic policies for the masses of people, many of whom who cannot afford to retire, healthcare, whatever, without this help. So this gets to the problem we have with the masses of people, or better said, I beg your pardon, with a significant majority of a significant minority of people in this country. They are undereducated. They don't want to learn. They want to stick to their old ways. Part of that problem is the Republicans under Reagan basically cut back on educational spending, cut back on all of the programs. We have not taken care, education-wise, of the people, particularly in the South and Midwest. So bottom line, they are not given examples of what their government is and what it does. They've not been given the education that we're all working together. They're not told how wonderful the country has been over the hundreds of years it's been in existence, handling crisis, handling war, getting beyond it, primarily because American people, when there is a crisis, they pull together. This minority is undereducated. I can't believe they're all crazy. Some of them are. But this, folks, is a major problem we have now, because we have people like Steve Bannon, that slob, out there talking about, oh, let's get ready. Let's have the troops ready to get in when Trump comes back. He has been in various countries, fascist countries, developing his speech, his rhetoric, his incitement of our people. So I know there's a lot on the plate in Washington vis-a-vis financing, but we need to get rid of this in some way, or else we're going to have a major, major, major problem. On that score, violence is something that has risen dramatically in this country because of this attitude of these people. In Tennessee now, I watched mobs of people, men, grown men, intimidating. People going to a school board meeting. Are you there, Marshall?
Yes, I am.
I thought I lost you. I mean, what kind of country is this? These are adults threatening other adults going to a school board meeting. I don't care what they're talking about. That meeting is for the benefit of our citizens whose children go to those schools. Put that image in your mind. This is mob mentality. And part of it is just some people like to get into a fight, but others are very serious in their misunderstanding of how government works. On that score, there's been violence against teachers and nurses. Nurses particularly now are not wearing their scrubs home. Their basic uniform in the hospital because they're open to being threatened while waiting on a grocery line or getting gas. We must deal with this. This is at the seat of our country. And, you know, one thing that is very difficult for us is we generally, as a country, including people who don't have much, we've really lived not so much in harmony, but we've been getting along and grateful for what we have, and we serve in the armed forces, and we do our duty. And we're beginning to lose that. And violence, unfortunately, begets violence. There's going to be a day where those guys in Tennessee at the board, challenging the board and the people, they're going to be met with violent resistance. We don't want that to happen. So therefore, look inside yourself and look at your neighbors and see what you're doing in your community regarding this philosophy, which is brewing. And it's this againstness. I'm right and you're wrong. We can't live in a democracy where a lot of people are doing I'm right and you're wrong, and go out in the streets and use violence to try and prove they're correct.
All right. Jim, very interesting morning. Go Giants, go Jets, go Yankees.
Oh, yes, we missed that. My God. Long live New York.
Okay, Jim. I'll speak to you next week.
Thanks. It was great, Marshall. It was a great show. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on Robin Hood Radio. A reminder, what you hear on Cover Your Assets and other interview shows, opinions given by people are those of the people that give the opinions and don't represent the views or opinions of Tri-State Public Communications, Robin Hood Radio, the Robin Hood Radio Network, CATV 6, CATV 252, or the Bargain Barn in Sharon.